It's good to be in the house of God today. It's good. Anywhere in the world, can you turn it down a little bit? Anywhere in the world, this is a good place to be right now. I can say that because what's going through our U.S. government with this stimulus thing, they got to see that people are hurting. People are getting on TV and crying in despair. That hurts me. And I know it hurts you. And it kind of was a thing I need to say first, because we're all hurting. But there's even more people that's hurting. And we have to love one another. I just don't see what the government is doing. It's two sides. And they can't come together to say, yes, I want to give money to people that is in need. It hurts me just to see the contemplation in their hearts about, it's not enough money, or is it too much money? But God is a God who gives us everything. He is a God who has unlimited resources. Unlimited. Mixed with love and humility and kindness. And that's the kind of God we serve. Amen? That's what being a Christian about. Knowing who you are means the most about what other people can get. We start out in our first reading about the love of God, who's thirsty, who can come to the river, who can come to the river and be nourished by the word of God. And when I saw this on TV, I mean, it hurt me so much that I look at my circumstances and I say, I've been blessed. I've really been blessed. What could I do more? And when you see people and evaluate yourself and say, I have a blessing that I can give someone, do you usually do that? Wouldn't your Christianity and your faith be in question as like, well, I know they're in need, but you know, I have what I have, and it's good enough for me. That's what the disciples said when Jesus said, give them something to eat. That kind of disturbed me, because they would know. They brought the fishes and the loaves, but it was for them. It was for them. Because it turned nighttime, and the disciples said, send them away. Let them go buy their own food. That kind of irked me in my spirit, because that's not what a Christian is. That's not what a Christian is. And then I look at my own family and I say, have I been the best to them? In the eyes of God, am I being challenged as you would be challenged? I was asked to be a participant in our pantry. And it went great. How much? How many bags we issued last week in the pantry? 70?
70, over 70.
Over 70 bags. That's good. That's good. That's feeding the 5,000 and everybody that's in need in this community. You know, the chapter of our lives turn every day we wake up. There should always be something new we can do for somebody. I can't see you getting up in the morning just saying, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. But what did you do for somebody else in all that? That's what I try and look for. That's why I try to be more of a deacon clergy, more of a person, if you need something, I'm there. I had this challenge. It was last week, maybe over a little bit last week. that one parishioner called me and said, "Deacon, my daughter is getting some work done in her house, and I have no one to take me to the market." I couldn't say no. But to be moved out of your ordinary circle, the stuff that you deal with in your circle to take care of your family and yourself, you have to let people know where you are, and you have to help them. It shows humility. And when Christ took the loaves and the bread and he looked up in heaven, Christ was moved with pity for the people. His humanity and his divine nature didn't have a problem because they worked together. They worked together. And God blessed them. Christ said, "Thank you." Gave to the apostles and fed the 5,000. More than 5,000. He's an awesome God with a lots of love. I would give that up to him, because that's God. That's God. In his humanity, in his divinity, we call it hypostatic union, because Christ never ceased to be God. But he always had that human nature for us to show in the scriptures that he is who he is, which is the savior of the world. I had this phone call from my sister maybe over 2 weeks ago. And he said, "Mel, you know, I called just to say hi, and I just want to clean the slate that, you know, there's no animosity. You know, I love you." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Here's a link to my church that you can, you know, you can come and listen. And, you know, I praise God." And I said, "Who prays? Is it Jesus? Because I don't know." We have all these different types of people on our throne, all different types of things. And that's why our second reading is like, you should never let anything come into the midst. Let me read this, because I like to be sure. Never say, "Thus saith the Lord," if he didn't say, because that's Christ. We have to be true to the word. "Will anguish, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, peril, or anything in this world, even death, separate you from Christ? Separate you from God?" Even when Jesus was raising Lazarus from the dead, he thanked Jesus. He thanked the Father. And Lazarus came forth, bound with rags. That's a picture of us, right on this river, before Christ said, "Thank you." And he raised the loaves and fishes and blessed them. We're a picture of that, someone who's always in need. And it's our continuous need that we have to pray. There's this space in our soul, and that's a space of contemplation. And I say that because every day we have these decisions. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And when are we going to do it? But when it comes to prayer to our God, we need to be sure that we put this prayer in a proper form so God can be grateful to answer. That's why when Jesus held the bread and fish up, he gave thanks. God knew what was going on with Jesus. Even though he mourned the death of John the Baptist, he put that aside. He put himself, his humanity, aside and said, "Thank you, Father." But he was still moved with pity for us. Now these people, They were far from home. They left their home, maybe their families, and all these people came here. I'm not sure what their situation was, but their situation is just like us. They were in need. They wasn't thinking about their family. They wasn't thinking about their property. They wasn't even thinking about their stomachs. But they had Jesus in that view because they wanted and know that Christ would heal them. They knew that. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. Not even the growling of their stomachs. Their eyes never missed the prize. But when Jesus needed to get away, he needed to get away from the crowd. He was hurt himself. So we have to put ourselves in Jesus' shoes because of his love and his love for humanity. He loves us. Even the giver of all things needed to be alone. And that's why I say when we pray, we have to make time for God. It's just a necessity. And I know we got things going on. And you know we have to deal with stuff that's in us. The I don't feel like it syndrome. But God is always there next to you. He's always there in your conscience. He's always there in your problems. He's always there when we have to make time for God and forget everything else. He loves that. He honors that. I had a situation where someone called my daughter and said, I got a problem. No one loves me. I don't know what to do. And I don't think my biological family loves me and want to reach out to me. I was told this. So God is good about putting stuff in your way so you can tell other people. And that's where you discern yourself on what God want to tell you what to say and what kind of human instinct and response you want to give. You have to give this section time and contemplation to the Spirit of God. Because I think because I'm on this road too, as well as everybody else. You want to be true to people. And you want to take your time. But you also need to give God that time to tell you, look, you can't find it somewhere else, I got it. That's why in our first reading, where you can drink milk and wine, our first reading, God had everything. He's got everything. He got all you need. But you got to have the Spirit of the Lord in you so your faith can be strong. That's what I'm saying. And what does he do? He empowers your family. He empowers the young people. We have clergy we can talk to. We have people we can trust. That's not going to say this or that or go to the left or the right. We always got someone that has a spirit in them that will say, yes, this is what the Lord says. That's what you got to be careful of, who you talk to. But me and my daughter, gave that person the lifeline. But that person has to make the choice to say, I need it. You have to. And as Jesus Christ is our model, if he's the Lord of our life, if he's our model that we have to go after, he prayed. He went to confession, reconciliation. He went away to talk to his Father. He had time for the woman at the well. He raised Lazarus from the dead just to show them the glory of God. And that's what we have to do as Christians, as people of Christ, as the body of Christ. We have to make sure we have that word in us. Because in this world right now, people are hurting. And what I think is that our church is going to have more people in our pantry. They're going to be looking for a lifeline. People are going to be looking for food. They're going to be looking for a word. They're going to be looking for resources. And we as Christians have to be ready. We have to be ready. We have to have that armor of Christ. We have to have that word ready to tell people, we got you. And that's what I'm talking about, even for myself. Never let other things keep you from God. Never let other things keep you from praying. Never let other things keeping you from saying, oh, I can't make that right now. I can't take you to the market right now because I'm busy eating or I'm busy doing other things. Make the time to help other people, because that is the nature of Christ. That's God in the background telling us we need to do our best. So after he fed the 5,000, they were satisfied. And yes, they ate, satisfying what Christ gave them, the food. Did they pray? They probably did. Did they thank God? They probably did. But the manifestation was when Christ gave the loaves and the bread to the people. That's God's manifestation. And if you pray, I guarantee that will be a manifestation. You'll have healing in your body. You'll have a new vigor to look at things differently through the eyes of Christ. And that's what he wants for his people. He loves his people. He wants the best for all of us. All of us. You know, one day I looked in the mirror. You wear the mask so much, right? You let your hair grow. And I said, let me cut this into a beard. And I looked in there for a minute. I was like, is this the page turning in my life? I had so much gray here, I couldn't believe it. I said yes. I said yes to that because every day that you wake up and you do look in a mirror, come on, you do look in a mirror, you have to say thank you, Lord. You have to. Because he is right there. Grooming you, making you all nice, putting in your mind, yeah, you got to call this person because she needs it, because he needs it, and this is what I want you to do. And you go out and do it in Christ Jesus. So every day that we have an opportunity and a chance to say thank you, Lord, you have to. Because this is a day of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ain't too far away, but every day that you wake up is a day of Thanksgiving. Right? It's a day of Thanksgiving. And that's why we have to give him the glory. That's why we have to give him the praise and the honor. And we have to stand here and say, here I am, Lord. Because I guarantee you, I think this did something to me. I talked with Doug, because Doug always had his, so I had to say I had mine, because God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen to that. Yes, let's give God praise and glory. Let's give him praise and glory. So before we leave today, before we hit these doors, when we take the Eucharist, we say thank you. Sometimes I might get it emotional because I'm thankful too. Many times that I would say Mass, I always say thank you because I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. That's why we come to church as one body, to put it on the altar. That's what I tell a couple people who talk to me privately. This is where you gotta put it. You can't keep it bottled up. In the marriage of Cana, you can't put new wine in old bottles or it'll break. You gotta put them in new skin. So you gotta bring it here and let God take care of it for you. So before you come to the altar today, say thank you. It ain't gonna hurt you. It's only a few words. Just thank you, Lord. Because he deserved that thanks. He loves that appreciation. He is a giving God. He is a strong God. And no matter how big your situation is, it can always be cleaned up by the word of God. That's Jesus. And that's who we have to model. Because God is good. And God is love. God is patient. God is kind, God is truthful, God is loving, and God is you. Because when you allow him to live in you, you're a part of him. And I'm looking at God right now. Because this is who we are. As St. Martin the Porous Catholic Church, this is who we are. So give God the glory in everything you do, because that's the strength that's enabling you to do it. And today, when I put my hand up here, I put it up here for my family. I put it up here for you, because I've been here long enough and seen so many faces that if you don't know me, please get to know me, because I want to get to know you, and that's why if we have visitors here, you're a part of the family. No matter where you've been, you're part of the family. I'm telling you. And this is what the love of God is. The love of God is us, and we should never forget that. Amen. Amen.